I wonder what happened to Adam that day.
Eve, too.
In our first reading from the book of Genesis, I mean, I know that they ate of the tree in the middle of the garden, but beyond that, what happened to them that compelled them to hide from their best friend? This, I think, is not only one of the most interesting parts of today's readings, but also I think it's one of the most telling aspects of the human condition that we live. You and me, our lives are somehow teetering, as it were, between a felt presence of God, that's why you're here today, to be in the presence of God, and the painful absence of God. Of course, a result of our choices and actions. Hiding from God might be the most curious reality of the spiritual life. I've shared this beautiful story with you once before, and it's a story about St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who toward the end of her short life had taken on a young spiritual directee who was preparing to join a religious order. They would exchange letters as their method of spiritual direction. And as they did this, something interesting happened. The further they got in their spiritual work, the less the young directee would share his failings with Thérèse. He stopped talking about his sins with his spiritual director, which is really important, by the way, in spiritual direction, talking about your sins. He was afraid that if he told her the truth about his life, she would think ill of him and maybe even drop him as a spiritual directee altogether. So finally, after a long period, he decided to write her and tell her about this fear of telling her his truth. He explained, "I was afraid that you would be disappointed in me if I told you all of my sins, and that everything that is wrong with me would become an object of horror to you, and you would never want to speak to me or direct me again." Now, St. Thérèse's response is the most important part of this story. It's about as profound a response as a spiritual director could ever give. She wrote back and she said, "Well then, you don't know me very well. If you're afraid that your faults will lessen the tenderness that I feel for your soul, well then, sadly, you don't know me very well." This is how it is with God. This is what it's like with your relationship with God. This is how it was that day with Adam and God. Each time you and I hide from God, what we're really saying is, "I don't trust that you love me." To which God always responds, "Well then, you must not know me very well. Because the fact is, my love for you has nothing to do with your mistakes or your bad choices or your sins." Now maybe this is the real litmus test for our spiritual life and also the real litmus test for our love for one another. Think about your life right now. Do we love one another only until the other sins against us? Or do we love one another in spite of the other's sins? Or put another way, think about your life. Are we present to one another only until we sin against each other? Or are we present to one another in spite of our sins against one another? That's what the reading from Genesis is all about, especially that first half of the reading that Ted read for us today. God created Adam and Eve in his image and likeness, and Adam and Eve were teetering in between. They were about to fall off between their true selves, which is living in the presence of God, and their false selves, which is living in hiding from God. Father Ron Rollheiser explains that we're often afraid that God's good opinion of us will change should all of the darkest secrets of our lives be laid before him. And this is so true for each one of us, way more often than we care to admit it. Think about your relationships, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, friends and friends, priests and parishioners. We're not very good at conflict because we struggle sharing our inadequacies with each other. I'll say that again. We're not very good at conflict because we're afraid to share our inadequacies with one another. We're either too scared to fail or we're too scared that the other won't be merciful. And so we hide from each other. This is a rhetorical question. Do not answer this question out loud. Do you hide things from each other? If you do, this is something that needs to be looked at in your spiritual life. Do you hide things, or is everything open for your friends, husbands, wives to see? Last week, Bishop Vasquez was here for confirmations. And as part of his homily, he always asks the young people questions about confirmation. Now, I know, and I know that he knows how well-formed our young people are here at St. Louis. I wonder, though, do the young people know how well-formed they are? Do they know how good they are? It's very interesting. As he was asking his questions about confirmation, as well-formed as they are, they struggled to raise their hands and answer the questions that I know they know. Oddly enough, as I was sitting in my chair over here, I could see that these teenagers, they were paralyzed. As I watched this happen, it occurred to me, their reluctance to answer is because our world has become a place where the failings of people has turned into entertainment. Our world has become a place where people's failings have become entertainment. CNN, Fox, just turn it on. That's what it's all about. Court TV, reality shows about breakups and breakdowns and bankruptcies. Tabloids that tell of infidelities and gotcha stories that make generally good people look really bad. This is the world in which we live, so it's no wonder people hide. Why would they put themselves out there if our culture is such that we are trying to entertain ourselves by other people's mistakes? This is the world that these young people are living in, which, of course, is not an authentic existence. God defines people by their souls, not by the mistakes or the successes that they experience. We are children of God and nothing more. If someone were to ask you, "What are you?" the answer would not be your profession. The answer would not be your successes, and the answer would not be your mistakes. The answer is, I'm a child of God. This is the correct answer, no matter what. I think these young people, who I know had the answers to the bishop's questions that day, they recognize this unseemly reality of this time and place in history. A reality that doesn't treat wrong answers very well. And so, they didn't raise their hands because it's the world in which they live, a world that teaches it's safer to hide than it is to live in the light. Even though I know they want to live in the light, they're teetering back and forth between their true self and their false self, which of course reminds us of this gospel passage. A self divided cannot stand. I'm sure this is no different for you and me. We're older kids. And it's the same thing for you and me. It was the same thing with Adam, who was falling back into the shadows of the garden. Now, I'm not precisely sure how to treat the theological question of whether or not God ever gets sad about things. This is another question that a theologian should handle. Does God actually get sad? But I imagine that God was somehow sad that day when Adam was hiding from him. Somehow God is sad when you and I hide from him. No different than husbands would be sad if their wives were hiding, and wives would be sad if their husbands were hiding. Friends would be sad if another friend was hiding something from them. This would not be a very fulfilling way to live. This has been part of our human experience from the very beginning, when Adam was hiding from God in the garden. God asking us, "Where are you? Why are you hiding from me? Don't you know that I love you?" This is what spirituality is all about. This is the key spiritual questions of our lives. Where are you? Why are you hiding from me? Don't you know, no matter what, that I love you? This is what God says to each one of us each day of our lives. I once read a blog that was talking about a retreat master who gave a lot of retreats throughout his year. And he always did the same thing in every retreat. He would say on the first evening, "As we begin our time together for this weekend or for this week, whatever, I want you to know that this whole retreat is focused on one thing and one thing only. That at some point this week, at some point during our time together, you will actually hear God say, 'I love you.'" That's what this is all about. That's why we come to church, to hear God say, "I love you." It's not about God saying, "I can't believe you did that." It's about God saying, "I know what you did, and I still love you." If we could ever arrive at this kind of a relationship with God, if we could ever live knowing that he loves us in spite of our faults, we would never hide from him again. We hide because we don't believe that he loves us. It's no different for our relationships with each other, husbands and wives, friends and friends. If you could ever arrive at something like, "I know that at some point I'm going to do something that's going to hurt you, and at some point you're probably going to do something that's going to hurt me, but I want you to know that I will never hide from you, and I ask you, please, don't ever hide from me." If these were the quality identifiers of our relationships, man, we would have amazing relationships. If this kind of conversation were to ever happen in our relationships, all would be well in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.